Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'll tell you, that was some of the nicest things anybody's ever said about me, so thank you, Pastor. So, I'm not a speaker, I'm not a pastor, this is very out of my comfort zone, and I got a couple things to kind of, you know, ease up the nerves, and I just want to bring some honor to some people from this platform, and man, I think that it's good to honor well within the body. And so I'm going to ask you guys to give some folks a round of applause here. I got six different people. Two of them are personal. The rest of them are, you know, within this church. So first and foremost, guys, if you guys haven't had a chance to, you know, really get to know, you know, Pastor and Amanda, they're the best people you could ever meet. And Pastor is the same guy up here bringing the word as he is when he's talking trash to me playing golf. And as somebody who has been around a good amount of pastors, you know, since I've come to Christ, there's not one that's more genuine than Pastor Andrew. So if we would, man, let's just honor him. So it is Father's Day, and I don't have any, you know, dad jokes. I didn't want to steal Andrew's thunder. But if you're a father, just raise your hand, and let's just give those guys a round of applause. What an honor it is, you know, that God trusts us, you know, to be the priest within the home, you know, to love our wives, to love our kids. It gives us an image of the kingdom. So hats off to you guys, you dads. I'm still working, you know, to try to be a better dad. I could definitely use a little more patience. I got three. My youngest, no one could have prepared us. He's our only boy. And I'll be ready when he gets saved, you know. Maybe he'll calm down. The next one, and I just want, if you are a first-time guest in here, if you would, just raise your hand, not to make you uncomfortable, all right? So, ushers, if you'll take notes of those hands that were raised and be sure to get them their flyers to sign for when we bring the snakes out later. I'm just kidding. We wouldn't do that, but we would ask you for your W-2s when you leave, so just joking. I want to put some of those stereotypes to bed. It's good to make fun of that. This next one is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm going to ask these folks to stand. If you serve here in Remnant Kids, whether it be nursery, 3 to 6, you know, 7 to 12, youth, young adults, whatever it may be, if you serve in those ministries, if you would, just please stand. No, don't be shy. Guys, this is... Me and my wife are fortunate enough to get to serve alongside these folks. Me personally, I've never enjoyed any other ministry as much as I enjoy Kids Church. And the reason being, you know, they are not worried about your ego. You know, just a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to pick on Mavi a little bit, you know, I thought I was bringing fire down from heaven. Mavi stood up. He's like, I'm about to poop my pants. And I said, okay. So he went. But I love Mavi. He's hilarious. If you don't know him, get to know Mavi. But one thing I want to say in addition to that, guys, you know, our mission here at the church is we're going to reach the next generation. We're here to usher in a move of God, and it starts with us, but man, it can easily be poured down to our youth. And those people that stood up, you know, we get the kids, you know, 2 hours a week. But I just want to encourage you. Your kids are so smart and so intelligent. Just continue to pour into them. Because all of you, you know, most of you probably grew up in church. A lot of seeds were planted in your youth. And look at the water. Look at the growth that's here now. So we're believing that that generation that's up and coming, that's going to be the generation to shake this world up, man. So the next two are, you know, my family. My mom and dad are here. Terry, if you would, just raise your hand. So my dad is so passionate about fathers. He has called and orchestrated a couple Father's Day lunch specials for you guys. So if you go to Blue Agave or Lost Mesquites, With the purchase of an ice water, my dad has covered unlimited chips and salsa. Also, if you go to Texas Roadhouse, which I'm going to try to keep you guys here long enough to get their dinner menu out. I'm just kidding. But he is also going to cover, with the purchase of an ice water, a free pack of peanuts that you can throw on the floor, and free butter and rolls. So let's just give Terry a round of applause, man. He's happy to be here. And then last but not least, my best friend and my wife, Miss Carmen. I'm not going to embarrass her. I told her I was going to and tell her all of her darkest secrets, but I wouldn't do that to her. I have to go home with her later. But, guys, I think that our marriage is a testimony of what two people that were just so deeply rooted in sin when we met, what God can do, and thankful for you. And I actually got a picture of our whole family, if you want to look up here. So that's me, obviously. The good-looking one. I'm just kidding. My daughter Iris, who is actually in here, she raised her hand. She's our 10-year-old. She's our big softy and sweetie and loves the Lord. I'm crying up here watching her worship. So it was awesome. And then Carmen, obviously, everybody complimented her on that dress on Mother's Day. That dress also sold at a yard sale for 50 cents last week. So, and then our middle one there, Georgia Rose. She is our brainiac, an athlete. She's too smart for her own good, and she just stays in trouble. And then our youngest there, Judah. And guys, if you look up the definition of turd in the dictionary, it's that kid right there. A few weeks ago, we let him watch WrestleMania, and from that moment on, from 7:30 to 10 o'clock at night, Dad, let's wrestle. And he don't walk by you, and you know, like our girls used to do, and say, Dad, let's cuddle. I love you. He walks by with a groin shot, and it's just not fun. So pray for us. Man, we need patience. We're in a fun season of life. So I want to build some rapport with you guys, just tell you a little bit about me. So as Pastor mentioned, I grew up here in Adairsville. I moved away when I was 20 years old to East Tennessee, where we spent, 10 to 12 years. Moved back down here in 2023. And guys, when I got to senior, freshman, sophomore, and my mom's here, so I'm not going to discuss too much. But, man, I was a hellion. And I just want you guys to know, man, like, I had to go and find out that I needed a Savior. And, man, did I. I mean, I did everything I could to try to just ruin my life, honestly. And luckily, there were seeds planted, and I want to thank my mom and dad for that, for my youth, that I knew when I was in trouble, I knew where to go. And what's crazy, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is, man, he was there waiting on me. And I got saved, back in 2014. That's when I gave my life to the Lord and just said, look, man, I'm going to end up dead if I keep living like this. I'm a little too crazy. So, Lord, my life is yours. And he saved me, man. I'm going to share a little more about that story here in a little bit. But, yeah, give God a hand clap. So, few years after being saved, and I mean, I'm not sure if you guys experienced this, but after salvation, I really still struggled. And a lot of it was I wasn't willing to lay down, the stuff that I was hanging on to. About 3 years ago, my life changed forever. And we're going to talk about this today. Is I went from, just being a guy who was checking the box as a Christian to, coming to church, taking my family to church, to God called me son. And when I identified as a son and that he loved me, you talk about being free, man. And that's the goal for today, man. I want you guys to leave here knowing who your father is and knowing how he sees you. So if I have a ministry, which I don't, I love kids' church, and that's kind of where I feel needed and planted right now. But man, there's two things that I've become really passionate about. One is repentance. And what repentance is, guys, is the correct way of thinking. The way to think about the Lord. The way to view yourself. The way to view the kingdom. And if you look around the world today, man, there's a battle for your mind. You are probably more distracted now than ever. You have to, without a doubt, anywhere you go in any conversation, choose one side or the other. And man, I had just learned to view people, view the church, view myself through the lens of Jesus. How does my father see me? How does my father see you? And guys, that should be the goal for all of us. If our mind wasn't valuable,
Jesus wouldn't have spent time trying to renew it. So I believe that. And then the second thing, and this is the basics of the gospel, something I think that we overlook, man, God loves us. It's God is love, and in him there is no darkness. And we've watered down the message of love and turned it into a, you know, a try harder message. Look, guys, I struggled with as much sin as anybody in this room. And I tried to defeat it. I tried to overcome it with my own will, and I could not do it. But once I got into the posture of he loves me too much to let me keep digging this grave, dude, it fell off me. So I hope that's encouraging to you guys, man. And I want you to know you are loved. And you're loved with the same love from the Father that he had for his son, Jesus. So those are my two things that I've become passionate about. So let me tell you, and this is kind of a humorous story, of how this all came about, right? How I'm up here. So I was, the Monday after the Super Bowl, I was flying down to Orlando for work. I was watching a movie on a Delta flight. And this movie, I can't even remember the name of it because I didn't get past this part. There was these two cousins that go back to Poland, and they're Jews, and one of the things that their grandmother left them was a trip back to the motherland. Well, during that movie, they go to a concentration camp, and one of the cousins says, there's never been a time in history where God left his people like he did during this time. And in that moment, it is like I couldn't pay attention to nothing. Something came over me. And as clear as day, I heard the Lord say, I don't do that. Go tell my people I have not left them. What a call, right? So immediately, my first thing, I had the Jonah reaction. Nope. That's my son's favorite word, nope. And I had to go and I had to pray about it. And I went back a month later, back to Orlando, and I went to this trade show. During this trade show, I could not focus on anything, and every time I closed my eyes, I saw Pastor Andrew. And I love Pastor Andrew. He's a handsome guy, but that's not who I want to see when I close my eyes. You know, no offense, Pastor. So I go to this trade show, and I go back. This is 9:30 at night, and I reach into my pocket, and I probably have 20 business cards from people that I've connected with. Couldn't tell you who they were. Couldn't tell you the interaction. Everything that I thought of was Pastor Andrew. So I called Pastor Andrew. I said, look, man, what I'm about to tell you, I want you to tell me no. I said, I think the Lord has laid something on my heart to share with our body. And I said, don't feel bad to tell me no now. So he prayed about it for a month and a half or 2 months. And he made that call between, you know, calling to let me know it was going to be Father's Day sound real nice. I said yes, obviously, because I'm here, but man, I was sweating. I was thinking about leaving the church during that time. So I actually have a picture, you know, kind of going through this. I have a picture that would describe what this experience has been like, if we can put this up here. You see my daughter right there? See the, oh no, look? So let me tell you the backstory of this, and this is why Iris wanted to come in here. So that is riding the rock and roller coaster at Hollywood Studios at Disney. I had told Iris that this ride was just like Peter Pan. And if you know anything about Peter Pan, it's a slow boat ride. And if you guys want to see what the look of a child never trusting their dad again, that's what it looks like right there. So had to embarrass her this morning. But so guys, that's, you know, my introduction. But now I want to go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you guys, if you can, just to posture your heart. Be prepared to hear. I know I sat in the same pew, and I sit in the same pew as you guys, but for the longest time, man, I was in the hamster wheel of life. And I want you guys, I can't change the way you think, but I can tell you how I think and how the revelation has changed my life. So I just want you guys to pray. Pray for me. You know, I'm probably as nervous as anybody that's ever stood on the stage, but I believe the Lord will step in today, without a doubt. And the message today is titled, He is with us. And without a doubt, I know walking up those steps that God tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm with you, man. So let's pray. Father, I love you, and I thank you. God, I thank you for this day and just your blessings and, man, the way you love us. And God, what an honor it is to be here. in your house on Father's Day, celebrating, you know, the fathers that are here, but God, getting to celebrate you. And Father, I just pray that today, God, you show up. God, I know that when you show up, God, people change. God, we see the kingdom. So God, that's what I'm asking for today. I've tried to make these folks laugh, and I've tried to bring them joy, but God, true joy comes from you. And I just pray that you be with me today, get me out of the way, and Lord, just touch the hearts that are looking for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So yeah, so told you kind of the gist of, you know, God does not abandon us. So the scripture we're going to be talking about today, we can go ahead and throw it up here on the screen. It's the world famous scripture when Jesus is hanging on the cross. You know, it's Matthew 27, 45 through 46. It says, from noon until 3 PM, darkness came all over the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, it is easy to identify the devil when he comes dressed in his red rubber jumpsuit. But it's really hard to identify him when he takes scripture and makes himself sound like Jesus. This scripture right here, it has probably caused more people to believe that God was abandoning Jesus on this cross than anything. And the Bible clearly states over and over and over again that God is with me. And it states, and I read it this morning, Jesus, for going into this, he said, you will leave me, but my Father will not forsake me. So I'm going to talk a little bit about leading up to this point and then give you some context after it, okay? So as you know, we've all heard the story. Adam and Eve, there was the fall of man. The first sin was committed in the garden. And my favorite part about that story is that God still showed up for that walk. And it wasn't God that didn't show up. It was Adam and Eve and their shame that ran and hid. So from there, sin kind of spreads, goes through the world. And we, you know, we're still sinning today, man. And sin, just to let you guys kind of know what that is, and there's a ton of scripture on it, but sin is you doing something or thinking something that disagrees with his design for you, for his initial purpose. And now in the world, you know, it's since I've been alive, I'm 33 years old, I can't, you know, you've heard that saying over and over and over again, times are dark, times are dark, times are dark. Well, guys, there is so much stuff offered to us that is a supplement of what our initial design was. You know, you have people that are just looking for what the world can give them to fill that void that we were designed for, which is a perfect walk with him. So, I think, and by the end of this, hopefully we get back to where we fix that. So, in this message, do you guys, have you ever felt alone? Have you, if that message was true, that God was abandoning Jesus on the cross, have you ever felt that sense of abandonment where nobody in the world could comfort you? So I'm going to tell you guys a funny story, all right? Is there any big deer hunters in here? Yeah? So I want you guys to promise me that after this service, you're not going to come up to me and judge me, all right? I've been on one hunting trip, probably my last one. I have no intentions on going on another one, and you're about to find out why. So a few years ago, I go up to Zanesville, Ohio, and there's this big public area up there where you can go deer hunting. And I go with these two guys that I used to work with, and, you know, we make the long haul up there. And we're going in to hunt for the first day. And again, I've never been before and not going again. All borrowed equipment, everything. So in Zanesville, Ohio, there's this road up there. It's called State Route 666. So in my mind, you know, red flags are going off. Like, I'm about to go out here and die. So we get out into the woods and we go, and as we're walking out to set up for the first night's hunt, again, new to this, we walk through the woods and there's like a fire that's going out. Like somebody had spent the night there, had breakfast there, whatever. There's a fire there. There's like beans, cans or something. But anyway, so in my mind, I'm thinking, I barely know how to shoot this bow. I've got this little pocket knife on me. We just drove down State Route 666, and there's a crazy person living in these woods. So fast forward, we hunt all day. I'm up in the tree stand, and this buck goes by, and I take my shot on this buck, and I hit it. So I'm one for one. Again, I'm done. I checked that box. So I climb down out of my tree stand, and I go, and I look for this deer. And when I shot the deer, there was no exit wound, so there was no blood trail for me to follow. And I don't want to gross you guys out if you guys are like anti-deer hunting. I'm sorry, but you got to kill animals to eat steaks, right? Just kidding. Might not have been the best joke, but oh well. I'll laugh it. So I go looking for this deer. Sun's going down. So apparently, whenever you go and hunt, you're supposed to put up these little things called, I think they're called snake eyes. And what that is so your light can hit those dots and they will take you back out to wherever you're parked, you know, wherever you come in. We didn't do that night. We were super excited about getting out there. Those guys were. I was, you know, kind of on edge. But anyway, I go looking for this deer. And just a slew of things start happening. So my headlamp dies. So that's like, uh-oh, number one. My cell phone dies. My walkie-talkie dies. And I am running through the woods in the pitch black darkness yelling, Chuck, Paul, I'm lost. Terrified. So I go, and they can hear me. They're probably a half a mile away. They say, just stand still. We'll come find you. Just scream out to me every, you know, 20 seconds, whatever it was. So I do. And I look out in the distance, and I see these guys' headlamps come. And I tell you guys, in that moment, though, when I was running, and not only was I running, I ran through a bird's nest. And if you can imagine in the middle of the night a bunch of birds flying around your head, you start repenting real quick right then. So I'm out here all alone, and these guys are coming up to me, and I am just shaking. I am so scared. I had thought I was about to go die in the woods, state route, you know, 666 in the middle of a crazy person's home. Guys, how many times have we wandered away? How many times have we got caught in the craziness of life where we isolate ourselves? As those guys got closer and I could hear their voice and I can see the headlamps coming down before me, all of a sudden peace came back. All of a sudden joy came back. All of a sudden I knew comfort was on the horizon. Guys, it is no different in your walk with the Father. You can try. You can do what you can't want to do. God honors free will, and He's going to let you choose. But I'm telling you, He is going to be rapidly pursuing you. There is nothing you can do to escape it unless you deliberately choose not to. So those guys come up. They find me. You're not going to believe what I'm standing in. I'm sitting there shaking, and I'm standing in that put-out fire that I walked into. And those guys laughed and laughed, and they don't call or talk to me anymore. They tell me, you're not cool enough or man enough to hang out with us. I thought that was a good, funny, practical story of what it felt like to be alone. So that scripture, the way the enemy has twisted it, is that if God would have left Jesus on His cross, who was perfect, He's definitely going to leave you. He's definitely going to let you go your own way and not pursue you. And guys, that has created such a deep-rooted mindset of us thinking that there's a good cop, bad cop dynamic between the Father and the Son. When in reality, Jesus says, I do nothing that I don't see the Father do. Guys, if you're looking to know what God the Father is like, look at the personhood of Jesus. If you want to know what His business is, what His goals and missions are, look at what Jesus did. Guys, I used to think for the longest time, and this is my thinking, I used to, you know, put God in the courtroom with the javel, I think is what they call it, in the white wig, with lightning bolts, and he had a ledger, and I was on that ledger every day. And guys, I think God is just, and God will judge. But let me give you an example of what judgment looks like for the believer or the right thinker. We sin. I used to think about this all the time. What's going to happen to me at the end of days when I stand before God? I'm going to give an account for my life. What if we were crazy enough to believe that we could walk so closely with Him that anytime sin or hurt comes into our life, we welcome Him to judge it in that moment? Where we live as an open book with our Father like we were designed to. So on the day of judgment day, God, there ain't no surprises. We talked about this morning. Think about that, guys. Think about that. What that would do for you. Before I got saved, you know, in 2014, I probably got saved 10 times. Two of them, I know, was after watching Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flame. You guys remember that play? Scared me to death. And, guys, I began to ask myself, and the Bible talks pretty clearly about fear. How many folks have made the decision to follow Jesus for fear of punishment, for fear of judgment? And I'm not saying that any of us are going to escape that, but guys, it's the love of the Father that draws us to repentance. And if your relationship with the Father is based on fear, man, I want to encourage you guys to do some deep digging. There we go. I knew we'd get there, but He loves us, guys. You know, Jesus taught in parables. One of my favorite parables, I'm going to give you two of them. There's the story of where we are mesmerizing to the merchant, where, you know, he goes and he buys the field for the treasure that's within it. Guys, that's how he views you. He was willing to bankrupt heaven to come and see you. And I'm going way off my notes, and I hope that's okay. The second one, this is my favorite one. I've taught it to your kids the last three or four times in kids' church. It's the prodigal son. Most of you have heard that story and have identified with both sons, right? We've been lavish living, and we've been the one that's self-righteous. Guys, we have missed the point that story is about the good father. And when the prodigal son came home, one of my favorite things in that scripture is that he took his slave's clothes off and gave him a robe. And guys, some of us still live after salvation with our slave clothes when we were meant for royalty. And that's not me just making that up, man. That's Bible. So, yeah, I'm trying to find where it was. I brought a pen to check some of this stuff off, but we're so far off there. All right, so going back to going back to that scripture. So in that moment when Jesus is saying, my God, why are you forsaking me? I want to give you some context on that. So back then, unlike us, they didn't have, you know, chapter verse. What they would do when they would speak, they would read out, you know, the first couple of sentences of a scripture, and that would let the people know what they were about to talk about. So think of the setting of Jesus hanging on the cross. Passover weekend, all of the Jews are in town. All of the religious leaders that betrayed him and hung him on that tree are all gathered around watching this innocent man die. It would have been a big spectacle. So Jesus, and it's so neat to think about how intentional Jesus was when he came. Jesus gives the start of this scripture, Psalms 22. And to give you guys the highlights of Psalms 22, I'm not going to read it to you. It's like 35 verses, but I encourage you to go read it later. So in Psalms 22, Jesus talks about being mocked on the cross due to his trust in the Lord, the evil that surrounded him that day as ravenous dogs, the piercing of his hands and his feet, the casting lots for his garments, a call to Israel to praise the Lord, that God had heard the cry of Israel and he sent a Savior for their suffering. There is satisfaction and eternal life for those who will believe, including the poor. And it ends with a promise I'm going to read to you in a second. Now, I'm sure you guys have been to many church services, but I guarantee you've never been to a church service where the guy talking was talking about a worm. In Psalms 22:6, it says, I am not a worm, but a man. Or I am not a man, but a worm. So if you'll put that picture up here. So look at this little red worm. It doesn't look like a worm to me. It looks like a gusher, but... And it serves the purpose of a gusher, too. I'm going to explain that to you. So this was called the Tola. This is native to Israel. So when Jesus is quoting Psalms 22:6, and, you know, the religious would have went back and read this, they would have known what this worm was. So this worm, I'm just going to give you all my notes for it. So this is called the Coccus ilicus. It's a grub that when it's crushed and placed in hot water, it produces a brilliant crimson or scarlet color. Now back then, the Jews would have taken this worm, and this was what was used for the dye of the priestly garment, of the veil. There's some importance to this worm. The worm, let me tell you the life cycle of this, it's crazy. The worm will climb up a tree, it forms a hard red shell to give birth to its children. And in those 3 days, the grubs feed on the mother. And what happens then is that this bug, and again, I can't believe I'm talking about this worm, but this is Revelation. The red scarlet color stains their children, and it stains the wood on the tree. Kind of see the symbolism going here? So for 3 days, this bug goes up on a tree and dies for its children. Pretty similar to what Jesus is doing. After the babies leave the mother, it pulls its tail up to its head, which it doesn't look like it has a tail there, but there's a couple other pictures, and it makes a heart shape, and it turns into a white wool-like texture that appears as snow. So think about this worm. Climbs up a tree. Jesus was on a tree. It's scarlet goo. I hate to say goo. Fluid. Christ's blood. The babies. You and I. The white as snow ending. And guys, that's what happened. I don't want to say that's what happens because I didn't really know where to go with here. But I just thought, man, how cool was that Jesus would have mentioned this worm while he was hanging on a tree? There was an intentionality behind it, guys. He knew who was going to be standing there around him, and he knew that if they would go back and read this psalm, they would find revelation of him. So, you guys with me? All right. So, like I mentioned, Psalms 22, it ends with a promise. And I'm going to read Psalms 22, 27 through 31, and the end of this scripture was our word for the church last year, so I'm really excited to say it. So, 27, it says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that he has done it. So when we hear Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is so much more than what I had ever imagined. I can cast my, duplicity on him where I feel like if God treated Jesus that way, man, there's no hope for me. But man, there is so much more, guys. And I encourage you to read the word. You know, and I'm just going to go into it. You know, the one thing that changed for me after believing that he sees me as son is that the Bible started making sense. And not did it just make sense, it almost felt as though it was a love letter from back home. And all the instruction in there, it's not to tell you not to have fun. And that's the way I viewed it for a long time before I got saved. It is to show you a glimpse of what a kingdom life is like. And guys, I don't want to offend anybody, But guys, the kingdom mindset is something we should all focus on. And I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about the big church as a whole. Guys, we've traded our kingdom mindset for a Southern Republican mindset. And I know that might offend some people. And I voted for Trump as many times as many of you did. But guys, I don't worship Trump. Trump ain't going to fix the world's problems. The world's problems will be fixed when the church believes correctly that the Father is with them. Thanks for clapping. I'm just kidding. But taking the thought that God didn't leave Jesus on the cross and he's not going to leave us, there's a scripture that we can start believing. And this is 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So reconciliation, I want to elaborate on that. So when Adam and Eve fell, there was a mindset, I think, that was created where there's a separation between us and God. And our sin does make it where we cannot hear him or see him. But when Jesus came, and he came to this earth, not only did he save us from our sins and he shows us the kingdom lifestyle, but he also comes to fix Adam's delusion. And what I mean by that is, guys, there's never been a moment in your life where the Father has not seen you. When you were sinning, he was pursuing you. When you're on your highest mountain, we should give him the glory. But there's never been a moment, guys, that he left us. You know, when Adam and Eve fell, God came with them. He came and there's not too much elaboration on it, but I mean, those guys figured out how to repopulate the earth and farm and all that good stuff. So somebody showed them that. I would assume it was God. Guys, when your mindset changes to from God is so distant to God sees me as son or daughter, guys, there's nothing that can come against you. And when it does come against you, you approach it with the mindset of, don't you know who my daddy is? Don't you know who is here with me? So going back to feeling abandoned or alone, you know, that's being abandoned or alone is the opposite of being comforted. And there's scripture that talks about where Jesus had to leave so the great comforter could come. And guys, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of churches that just completely write off the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to go, you know, too deep in detail, but let me explain to you what I have come to know the Holy Spirit as. It's God. He is God. He is not confined to flesh like we are, but he chooses to come and live within us. He's freeing. If I would have believed correctly during that hunting story that the Holy Spirit was with me, I probably wouldn't have been afraid. But guys, imagine, and this is where I challenge you. Imagine what would happen if the church, like the early church, got back to believing that the Holy Spirit is with us. Not just in our services, but with us when we leave. So, a few years ago, I used to speak all the time on Friday nights. We went to a church up in Tennessee, and we were college and career pastors, and I'll tell you guys, if you want to know somebody trying to do the right thing for the wrong reasons, that's what I was doing. I did it for a platform. All my friends were pastors, and I wanted to be like that. I wanted the good job, man. And the Lord's so gracious to me. He kindly got me out of that. He highlighted it for me. He gave me a few years to just sit back and serve and to find out what he really says about me. And guys, it wasn't until I started believing that the Holy Spirit was with me till I felt confident enough to come back up here. And you can, I believe this wholeheartedly, man. A lot of people believe they're going to heaven. And, you know, if you confess that Christ is Lord and believe in his heart that God rose him from the dead, you are. But the gospel is like this, and this is a great explanation. Imagine your sin debt was $1 million. What Jesus does, if you believe in the gospel fully, that the Holy Spirit comes with it, he writes a check for $51 million. Your debt's paid for. Now the life and life more abundantly is the $50 million you get to enjoy. And guys, I wasn't believing in the, you know, Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. A lot of people believe that's at death. Guys, that's for this moment. So, and again, guys, I've been all over the place, and I'm just kind of going with it, letting the Lord, you know. So think about this, guys, and this is something that is near and dear to my heart. I go out on the road all the time. I'm with the unchurched, okay? I do aircraft maintenance sales, and I know that sounds crazy, and it is crazy, but I'm on the road a lot, and I'm not with people that love the Lord like you guys do. You know, people that are still struggling, you know, people that don't know the value of their life. Guys, there is just as much value on those people's life than there is on ours. And, you know, for the long time, the reason I was telling you the story about me used to wanting to do this and the pastor or to speak is because I thought that was like the upper echelon of God's callings. And it is a great calling. I don't want to diminish that. But guys, you are strategically placed in your workforce with your family for a purpose. And Pastor Andrew can come in here and Pastor Reed, and those guys bring a word and they do a great job stewarding the ministry God's given them. But guys, it doesn't stop in these four walls. Me and Pastor Andrew talked about this the other day, about the next great move of God. And I believe wholeheartedly that it'll start within our hearts, it'll start within the home, it'll start within communities. And Pastor Andrew just trumped all that, and he said the best thing ever. He said, it'll come to those who want it. So guys, you got to want to carry the message that God is with us. You got to want people to see him the way you see him. And guys, I can give a message and Pastor Andrew can give a message, but ultimately we're here hoping that the Lord will draw you. I can't save you. He can't save you. But the one who can is going to be here today. So if you walked into the doors with that mindset that, oh my gosh, I'm about to stand in the presence of God. Think about that, guys. So going back to those folks out there in the world. What we've done, and Lord, I need your grace to share this. So what we've done, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, people disagree with us, we write them off. People suffer or are in certain sins, we write them off. They're not welcome here. I'm not saying here at Remnant, but the church. And we kind of just give up on them. So my wife and I, you know, when we met, we were in sin. And guys, if you will, just when we leave here, just I don't want you to think any differently of me and my wife. So before we got saved, we were living in a whirlwind of sin. I was not a good guy. She wasn't the best lady. When I met her, and this is the only time I'm going to embarrass her. When she came to hang out with me for the first time, she had an AC/DC shirt, a cigarette tucked behind her ear, and a six-pack of Bud Light. And back then, it's not, you know, not trying to be funny now, but back then, you know, my first mindset was, God has made a perfect woman. You know. She's over there like, good Lord. But we were young, unsaved people. And you don't have to use your imagination to imagine the things that we were doing. There was a time, guys, and this is what led me to salvation. So there's been seeds planted to me. I knew a good idea of what was right from wrong. She was the same way. You know, she was like the golden child of her family. And what I mean by that is she's the youngest grandbaby. She is a great student. And if you know my wife, you love her because she loves you with her whole heart. But we didn't always have that. So here comes this boy from Georgia. When we met, I had like $60 to my name. I was working in a Mexican restaurant as a server. And then ultimately, I got a job as her dad's janitor. And talk about it like a rags to riches story. Like the golden child fell in love with her dad's janitor. So living in sin, we find out that we're having a baby before we get married. And guys, this is when if shame comes to me knocking on the door, it's about this. So we find out we're having a baby. We get in the car and we have an appointment. And I've shared this with my oldest. We have an appointment to come down to Chattanooga for an abortion. Okay? On the way down there, this car that is probably still driving today, you know how when you turn take the lock out of the key out of the lock and you turn it kind of locks? 75 miles an hour down Highway 75, it did that same thing. So we safely bridge over to the side of the road, and I, out of fear, am scared to death and say, Lord, I have a feeling you want us to have this child, and if we do, man, I'll give my life to you. So guys, when we think about the worst of the worst, you have me, who is so twisted in sin and shame that I would hurt an unborn innocent child. Thank God somebody stuck their hand down and said, I love you. Because if he can take that broken kid, 21 years old, and he can call him a son, how much more can he do for those people out there that are desperately searching for him? And the method of which that's going to be done is you and me. It's you and me believing they belong. It's going up to people and say, look, man, I've been there. I know where you're at, and I found a better way. And his name is Jesus. One of the, and this is the very last thing I'm going to say about this, about the mindset that the church has to have to see these people come in. For the longest time, I believe that the church's mindset has been, we're right, you're wrong. When in reality, it should be, I'm loved, so are you. You just don't know it yet. Amen. So we've talked about the church, and I mentioned a little bit about the Bible, and I had some, I think one more scripture to go over, but I want to talk about taking the revelation that God's with us and applying it to your reading and your word. And guys, this book, and I know there's, you know, controversy about how it was canonized, but I have faith that this is what he wanted us to have. And I have faith that everything in this points to Jesus. And the New Testament is what the kingdom-minded person looks like. Those guys, and hats off to them, you know, we have a hard time evangelizing the people because we're scared of what they're going to post on Facebook. Dude, those guys were taking on the Empire of Rome. And I just desire, and I hope the Lord shows it to me and gives it to me, desire in my life, man, to have that kind of boldness. And those guys weren't beating people over the head with the Bible. They were introducing people to Christ. So I know for the longest time, guys, I would read the Bible. My dad, when I was a kid, was it $100 or $1,000? My dad offered me like $100 or $1,000 to handwrite the Bible. He wanted me to know it. So by the time that I was in high school or an adult, I was like, dude, I'm never picking that book up again. It's like, that's going to lead me to getting carpal tunnel. And I used to read it and just think, man, God does not want me to have a lick of fun. God doesn't care if I'm having a good time. He wants me to obey and comply. And there's probably some truth to that. He does want you to obey and comply. But guys, I'm telling you right now, I have never had more fun in my life than I've started having as a believer. And not just a believer, but a son. We had a game night last Saturday. And I told Andrew this. I was like, man, I had so much fun. And I had to go home and I had to ask the Lord, Lord, why was I just so full of joy? Why was I so happy? And as clear as day, he said, because my kids were in my house because of what I've done. And they were enjoying each other's fellowship. Guys, it's no different than the Word. When you get into this Word and you start seeing how the Father feels about you, you will become free, man. And that's what we're looking for, right? We all are designed to know our Creator. We all are designed with a sense of void. Guys, that void is Jesus. And this book points to Him. And Amanda, you can come if you want to. She's going to play Free Bird to close us out tonight. I'm just kidding. But maybe, if you feel like it. I can't give a pastor a hard time and not give you one too. So there's a scripture, guys. And to give you the context of this, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, okay? He's basically confronting them saying, look, the reason you didn't recognize me when I came is because you don't have me in your heart. And John 5, 38 through 40, this is him talking to the Pharisees. He says, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search these scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So what I want to say with that scripture, I know what it's like to read and feel as though you're checking a box. I know what it's like to read and be confused. I know what it's like to read and still feel like you're on a hamster wheel. But guys, today you have the opportunity to meet the author. You could take all the great sermons that have ever been preached, and you can trade them for one thing: the presence of God. When you come here with the right heart and say, Lord, I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of not feeling like a son or a daughter. When you come here looking for revelation, revelation will slap you in the face. He is here waiting to pour himself into you. And here's the thing, guys. He's been ready to do that since you walked on this earth. It's been a nonstop pursuit. And I just want to encourage you. I just want you to know him the way I know him. I go on a walk just about every morning. My favorite part of my day. And I go, and I don't bring my laundry list to the Lord, all the things that I need help with. I go, and I just say, Father, Adam didn't show up for that walk, but I'm here. And I want to hear from you. And you know what he does? Every time. I leave out of there, eyes full of tears, re-encouraged, go home and be the man he called me to be to my wife and kids. Most importantly, I know that I'm in union with my Father. And all that is made possible by Jesus. So you guys can stand. We're almost done. I want to get you guys to Texas Roadhouse because my dad's paying for your rolls and peanuts. You guys good? So guys, I believe that Revelation, and it was this was the case when Jesus walked this earth. Revelation, healing, change. It all started with an encounter with Jesus. Some of you have encountered Jesus in the parable where the ways of this world have choked out the seeds that were planted. Some of you are in a season where you're ready to take that next step. And I'm excited for you, man, because that's awesome. And I don't know what that looks like. It's different for everybody. When Jesus met people in the New Testament, whether he healed them, whatever the encounter may be, he didn't hit them over the head with their sins. He brought heaven with him. And the only message he had after that is go and sin no more. I know what it's like to struggle with sin, even after salvation. But I also have found out the value in surrender. So if everybody would, just bow your head, close your eyes. In John 7, 37 through 38, I want to give that to you. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So guys, today will be different for all of us. Some of you will come and taste him for the first time. You will get the drink. Some of you have been walking with him for a while. But today is the day where the rivers of living water come flowing from you. And if you look around the world, or at the world needs more people that are full of living water. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you just say, look, I've heard of Jesus. The idea sounds good, but I've never made him my Lord and Savior. And today, I would like to get to know him. I would like to get to know the price that he paid for my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. The second one I want to extend the invitation to is if you've been walking and you feel as though you're in the hamster wheel of life, that you are alone, if you have been forgotten, if that's you guys and you need a touch from the Lord, if you would, just raise your hand. So guys, we're going to pray. They're going to sing. If you need prayer for anything, these altars are open. I've asked Pastor Andrew and my wife, if you need prayer, they're going to come pray for you. But I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the folks that are listening to what the Lord's putting in their heart right now. But let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, of the things you've given me, this was the part that was the fuzziest. But God, I just want to ask, and I want to believe, God, that you're about to show up here. God, I just pray, just like the folks in the New Testament, that there would be an encounter. And from that encounter, God, people would go out of here free, knowing their sons and daughters. God, we thank you that you never left us. We thank you for the price that Christ paid for our life and the comforter that you sent us. And God, I just ask that your church be crazy enough to believe that we were meant to carry that. So we love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.